As you saw earlier with the children up here and heard from those who worked in VBS, it was a really great week. Many nights it was time to go, and several of the workers said, "I can't believe that the time has already gone by for us to where we finished the night." Just some statistics so you kind of have an idea of the lives that we have impacted. We had 173 children sign up. And on any given night throughout the week, we had 146 children at VBS. And so that was 146 different children. And when you start adding out the numbers on that for their siblings, their parents, the lives that were touched, I mean, I can't even come up with a number. But hundreds and hundreds of lives were touched through our Vacation Bible School. And, to me, that is what's so exciting, is the impact that we get to have not only on the children that are here, but also on their families. We had at least 65 volunteers, you guys, that were here working with the children, investing in the children, greeting their parents from the parking lot through family night. You can just see how the people of the community that were here got to see the Deer Park family in action, loving their kids in the name of Jesus, serving them. And so I want to thank everybody who was involved, and continue to pray for those children, for the impact that we can have on their lives. During the week, we were challenged to have God sightings, where we would challenge the children and the workers to look and to recognize where God was working in some way in their life or in a circumstance or a situation. And one of the things that was shared, and this is true for me, was kind of backing up a little bit, is you've heard me talk a little bit about our partnership with A.C. Cochran. Lee mentioned that earlier. A.C. Cochran Elementary School, which is right here in our backyard. We started this past year with Backpack Buddies, providing some food for children that would not have it over the weekends. We've been encouraged and asked to participate in a reading program to help children learn to read, to come alongside of those teachers. But probably the second or third night, we had a large group of kids that were coming, and then we found out that the majority of those attend A.C. Cochran School. And so it was like God just kind of bringing them here for us to get to know a few of the students that were there, that are at that school. So as we continue to explore where God is leading us there, we already know some of the children. And to me, that was God's way of confirming and just showing us, you know, I'm at work here. I'm at work in these children's lives. You're going to go over there. I brought them here. And so continue to pray for that, how we can impact the children in our community. One of the other things that was done is on the edge of the stage over here, there's a cardboard thing with a plastic tube. The children were taking up money to help provide clean water in Peru. One of the things that I take for granted every day is that I can turn a faucet and I'm going to have clean water. I'm going to have it to take a shower with, to brush my teeth, to cook, to drink. But all of us here know that that's not true everywhere in the world. And so the children, they gave over $400 this week, and every $5 provides clean drinking water for one child for a year in Peru. And so that was 81 kids that will have clean drinking water. And I'm excited about that because it showed the children how we can have an impact on people's lives, not only here but around the world. And so we left this here so that you can participate if you would like. When you leave today, if you want to come by and put in loose change, we take money, paper money, checks, you know, paper checks, whatever you want to do. But all of that, every $5 you give will help provide clean drinking water for a child in Peru for a year. So that's kind of a summary of our VBS. One of the things that we did each night is, and this really ties into the message today, is there was a biblical truth, a foundational truth that we learned every night, and also the scripture that supports that. And so I'm going to ask Deborah, if she will, to put the first one on the screen. And the kids, every night they would learn this truth. And the first one was, God made you. And the children would say, wow, God. They would give God glory for that. And what a great truth to understand and to know that God made you. And the scripture that went with that, I think, will come up. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. From the mouths of babes, right? And the second night, the thing is, God is for you. I mean, all right, y'all aren't quite as good as you were on the first one. But God is for you. Think about that. You know, in a world where it seems like so much is against us, that so many are against us, to know that God is for you. And the scripture that went with that, you see, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? What a great principle. What a great truth from scripture. The third night, and I don't have these memorized, so that's why I'm waiting. God is always with you. So God made you, God is for you, God is always with you. And the scripture that goes with that is the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Doesn't matter. Wherever you go, God is with you. And then the next night, the truth is God will always love you. The rest of y'all are going to catch on in a few minutes. We're still waiting on the rest of y'all to catch on. And the scripture that goes with that is your unfailing love will last forever. Great promise from the scripture. And then the last night, the truth was God made you for a reason.
Wow, God.
Hey, look, the rest of you are catching on. That is awesome. And the scripture that goes along with that is, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Now, the reason I wanted to show you those this morning was not to show you what our children were learning in VBS, but to let you know that these foundational truths are so important for all of us. Each one of us, as we continue through this sermon series that I'm calling Follow Me, and I will make, and Jesus promised to make us fishers of men, but follow me, these foundational truths are so important to all of our life, to understand that God did make us, that God made us for a reason, that He's always with us, that His love is unfailing. I mean, these are promises from the Scripture that are not only important for children, they're important for me and for you to understand them and not just know them, but to live them, to make it a part of every piece of your life. I was praying about that this morning on my way over here to church, that as we look at the scriptures, we look at for the truths of scripture, that I wouldn't just know them here, but they would permeate my whole life. Everything that I am, every part of my life as a husband, as a father, as a brother, as a child, as a pastor, every part of my life, that these foundational truths would support me and that I would stand on them. And it really leads into our message today as we continue going through 2 Timothy. Now, one of the things that I did want to bring up, and I don't know how many of you saw this week, but did y'all see the pictures of the sinkhole in Florida? Did anybody see that? About half of you did. Well, they show these sinkholes, and we hear more and more about them, where, you know, somebody's in a house, in a building, whatever, and everything looks fine. But what they don't know is that the earth is eroding away from underneath of where they are. And we see these sinkholes where they swallow up whole houses. I think this one in Florida has already swallowed up two houses, cars. I mean, these things are scary to me because you're going about your life and everything on the surface looks fine. But underneath, there's an erosion going on. And then one day this sinkhole happens. And as I was watching that, I was thinking about these foundational truths from VBS, from the scripture we're going to look at today. It's so important that we have this firm foundation, that we know that the foundation of our life is built on something that will not erode away, will not change over time. And as we're going to see in the scripture today, that is from our lives being built on the foundation of the scripture and why the scripture is so important. As we look at Jesus' call, where he says, follow me, I mean, this is an invitation for you and for me to follow Jesus, to live our lives like Jesus, to walk with Jesus. And he says, if you will make that choice to follow me, he makes a promise. Then I will make you fishers of men. I will use you for my plans and my purpose. I will allow you to be a part of my kingdom work. And so we have the invitation and we have the promise of Jesus. And as we've gone through 2 Timothy, we've looked at, you know, at this guide that Paul is giving to Timothy. 2 Timothy is a letter that was written from Paul to Timothy. And it's part of the scripture, so it was meant for you and for me today on how we can live our lives, how we must live our lives as we follow Jesus. And, you know, as we think about these sinkholes and the foundation of things eroding away, you know, how can we avoid that in our life? How can we avoid our life coming to ruin because of things that we don't see that are going on around us or in us? And my answer to that is go to the expert. Go to the one who created us. And for me and for my faith, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the Bible. And so this morning, as we look at what Paul is telling Timothy, I want to go back and I'm just going to read two of the verses from last week that lead into this. So in 2 Timothy 3, I'm going to start with verse 14. And this is Paul talking to Timothy. This is God talking to you and to me. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And so as we look at this scripture, this is really the foundation of your faith and my faith. As you look at that first verse in verse 16, it says that all scripture is breathed out by God. And that's really going to be the focus of the whole message today. Next week, we're going to look at the rest of these verses. But every verse in the Bible as you and I have it here, this is, and if you're new to church, new to the teaching of Christ, the Bible is what we call God's Word to us. And it is the foundation of our faith. And so what we believe about the Scripture affects everything else in our walk with Christ, in our faith. And so as we look at this, the Scripture says about itself that all Scripture is breathed out by God. God inspired men throughout time to write down things that are His Word. He did this in order to teach them. In the case here with Paul writing to Timothy, for him to teach Timothy, to teach us. But God wrote down, had men write down His Word. And everything that is in the Scripture is inspired by God. And it is what God wanted you to know about Him. That's what's neat to me, is everything that God wants you to know about Him, about having faith, about living your life for Him, He gave us in what we call the Bible. And so what you believe about the Bible, it affects everything. Now, skeptics may say, and some in here may think this, that since men wrote it down, that it probably contains some errors or some other things. I don't believe that. I believe that the Bible contains no errors. I believe that the Bible is God's holy word. And that I go back and say, well, why do you believe that, Stephen? I go back to the beginning of verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God. I don't believe it contains errors. I don't believe that it contains mistakes. That's part of the foundation of my faith. And it's what God says about it in the scripture. So if somebody says to you, well, the Bible's full of mistakes. Honestly, just look at them and say, well, please show me where they are. Because chances are they're not going to be able to. They're just repeating something else they heard. And that's why I say to you, week in and week out, it's so important for you and for me to know what we believe, but also why we believe it. So when those skeptics come along, when those false teachers that we've talked about throughout this series come along, you know, because you have this firm foundation of knowing the sacred writings from the time that you were a child, whether a spiritual child or a physical child, however you want to look at that. But all scripture means the whole Bible. When he says all, that means everything. Thank you. It means all. Thank you. And, you know, the other thing that I thought about as I was reading this, I mean, here's this great statement about scripture that's made, that all scripture is breathed out by God. And I have said this, I've said this in here before, I've had people say it to me, that there are people out there that say, well, I choose to believe this part of the Bible, but I don't choose to believe this part. And my question is, if you don't believe the whole thing, how can you believe any of it? If you believe part of it is true and part of it's not, how are you going to know? Most people who do that, they believe the parts that they like, and they say they don't believe the parts that they don't like. That means that they're going to have to change their life. But when someone says to you that I believe that the scripture contains mistakes, say, show them to me. And if somebody says to you, well, I believe part of the Bible is true, say, then how can you believe any of it? How are you going to know what parts are true and what parts aren't? It's all going to be based on your own personal speculation. And that's why I say I choose to believe that the scripture is what God says it is. Let me give you a couple of things, and this is a little overwhelming to me, but hopefully it can help you understand the historical dependability of the scripture. The Bible is one collection of 66 different books. Now, if you're new to church, new to the faith, new to the Bible, we have it divided up into the Old Testament, which is the things that happened before Christ, that were looking towards Christ, and the New Testament, which starts with Christ taking on the form of man and coming to earth. And then we have the New Testament that looks at the life of Christ and looks back. So we have the Old Testament, New Testament. It's 66 books in the whole Bible. And there are at least 40 authors in the scripture from different parts, different men wrote these things down, different people wrote these things down, that lived over a period of 1,600 years. So from the beginning, from Genesis to Revelation, these people lived over a period of 1,600 years, and they lived in 13 different countries on three different continents. And so you can see how widespread that is. And they came from all different backgrounds. Some were shepherds, some were kings, some were soldiers, some were fishermen, some were scholars, some were historians, and some were just common laborers that wrote the books that we have in the scripture. And it was also written in different literary styles in three different languages. Now, this is a little history fact here, and I read this several years ago. There are over 25,000 original texts from different parts of the scripture. 25,000 that they have the original, how it was written, when it was written. To put that in perspective, the closest that we can find that I know of, that I've read about, a document from antiquity from a long, long time ago, is Homer's Iliad with 643 copies. So looking at the scripture, we have 25,000 original manuscripts or texts that make up the books of the Bible, and only 600 from a secular book. And so this shows you how God has preserved these things for you and for me over the years. And when you bring that together, when you bring all of this together, it makes one book that has one story beginning with Genesis and going through Revelation. The Bible has one theme, and that's redemption. The Bible has one hero, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible has one villain. It is Satan, or also you hear him called the devil. And the Bible has one purpose, and that's to bring glory to God Almighty. And so as you look at the scripture, you look at how God has preserved it for us, and you see this promise that all Scripture is breathed out by God, it's so important that you know what you believe about the Bible and why. So that your faith will be firm. So that your faith will be strong. Why do I believe the Scripture? Because of what it says. That it's what? Breathed out by God. That all Scripture is breathed out by God. That all of it is His Word to you and to me. The Bible is full of prophecies that have been fulfilled and prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. And as I was thinking about this, again, I don't want to overwhelm you just with numbers, but there are over 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled in the Scripture. Now, to put that in perspective, I'm going to try to explain this. I read this several years ago. That if you're looking at the chances of somebody fulfilling even 8 prophecies that are in the Old Testament, said if you took silver dollars, I should have brought one. If you took silver dollars, that the chance of somebody fulfilling even 8 Old Testament prophecies is 1 in 100. There's a big number that's probably going to come up on the screen. All right, I don't even know what that number is. But I know I don't make that much money. But whatever that, the chances of somebody fulfilling even 8 prophecies as they are in the Scripture is that chance. Jesus fulfilled 300. Now, to put that in something you may can see, because this number doesn't mean a whole lot to me, but if you got silver dollars and you filled up and started covering the state of Texas. Now, how many of you have been to Texas? Texas is a big state. My dad used to tell us, said they had a saying when he lived there, the sun has risen, the sun has set, and we ain't out of Texas yet. I mean, Texas is a big state. If you covered it in silver dollars, with that amount of silver dollars, it would be 2 feet deep across the whole state of Texas. Now, the chances of somebody fulfilling even 8 prophecies in Scripture, if you took one of those silver dollars, painted it red, mixed it in that 2 feet across the state of Texas, blindfolded yourself and or somebody else and said, go out and on the very first try, pick up that red silver dollar. So we see that the Scripture is true, that the Scripture is firm, that as we look at what's written, even though it was written over 1600 years by these different authors, that it's one story. The story of redemption, the story of Jesus Christ, the glory of God. And it's just beautiful how God has brought that all together for you and for me. And how He tells us that all Scripture is breathed out by Him. That all Scripture is given by God. What a great, great gift that God has given us. In the gift of the Scripture, but also in the assurance that we can base our lives on it. As I said earlier, my prayer is that every part of my life, every fiber of my being, would not just know the Scripture, but it would just permeate every part of my life so that I can live my life in a way that is pleasing to God. And the only way that is going to happen is for me to know the Scripture. It's going to be for me to base my life on the Scripture. And that's the same for you. And you have to know it. You have to know what you believe. You have to know why you believe it. And if you believe that all Scripture is breathed out by God, that He has given us the Bible as we have it, that it is worth changing your life for, to be obedient to it. You know, in the Great Commission, Jesus tells us to reach and teach, to teach people to be obedient to everything that I've commanded. And how do you know what He's commanded? It's in the Scripture. You have to read the Scripture. So why is it so important for you to believe what the Bible, believe, to know what you believe about the Bible? A couple of things. First one is this. Your salvation depends on it. Your salvation depends on it. But see, the Scripture teaches us things about ourselves that maybe we don't recognize on our own. This teaches that we have a problem, and it's sin. that all have fallen short of God's glory. And that is sin. And that sin separates you from God. It separated me from God. The Bible teaches that the only way to the Father is through the Son, through Jesus Christ. And so when you recognize that you have this sin problem in your life, and we all have it, the Bible reveals it to us. And you go, well, what am I going to do about it? And God says, I've already done something about it. I sent my Son so that if you believe in Him, you will not perish but have everlasting life. That's in the Bible. So you see how believing that you do have a sin problem, believing that Jesus is God's Son, that He was born of a virgin, that He lived the perfect sinless life, that He died on the cross, and 3 days later He rose from the dead. When you believe that, that is what encompasses your salvation. And that's what the Scripture teaches. And that's why it's important that you either realize that, yes, I believe what the Bible says and I'm going to base my life on it, or I don't believe what it says, then you can just ignore the rest. Doesn't make it not true. Please understand that. It's true. You have the choice, though. Am I going to believe what the Bible teaches, or am I not going to believe it? Your assurance of your salvation and the assurance of the presence of God in your life is based on what you believe about the Bible. Those verses we looked at, like God is always with you, that's a promise from Scripture. If you believe the Scripture, then you have to believe the promise. And even when you feel alone, even when you feel like things are going crazy in your life and that everything is against you, we saw those Scriptures. God is for you. God created you for a purpose. God will always love you. God is always with you. Those are promises, foundational promises that God has given you to give you confidence in your faith as you walk with Him. Your spiritual growth depends on living by the principles of the Bible. If you believe the Bible, spiritually, it is going to change you. It's going to change the way you live your life. It's going to change what you do if you believe what it says. And so your spiritual growth depends on the fact, do I believe that all Scripture is breathed out by God? Your power to share the message of Jesus Christ depends on your confidence in what you believe about the Bible. See, if you believe in the Bible, and I believe every word of the Bible, it gives me confidence to go out and share my faith. Because I believe that the only way for forgiveness of sin, the only way that I can have a relationship with our Heavenly Father is through Jesus Christ. How do I know that? It's in the Scripture. And so when I believe that, when it's part of who I am, then when I talk to other people, I want them to know that so that they can have that same faith. And so your confidence in sharing the Scripture, that's why a lot of times you hear me talking about huddles and small groups and getting together with people and talking about the Scripture. It's to build your confidence so then that you can go out and you can share your faith with others. But if you don't have confidence in the Scripture, if you don't have confidence in who you are in Jesus Christ, I can promise you, you're not going to go out and share it with other people. All Scripture is breathed out by God. So you must be absolutely certain that the Bible is the Word of God. When you are absolutely certain that the Bible is God's Word to you, that it is full of what He wants you to know about Him and how to live for Him, that all of it is breathed out by God, then it will change your life. You will adjust your life through the power of the Holy Spirit to live in obedience to the Scripture when you believe it's true. But if you don't believe it, why would you change anything? Why would you allow God to teach you anything if you don't believe it's true? So you have to decide, and I have to decide today, what do I believe about the Bible? What do I believe about the Scripture? Again, the Bible says of itself that it is breathed out by God. Let me close with this. Man, that's all of us, male and female, we have three basic problems. Sin, sorrow, and death. And the Bible is the only collection of books. It is the only book that addresses all three of these and tells you what caused it and how to have a life that's different through faith in Jesus Christ. So really my only question for you today, and this is for those who are followers of Christ, this is for those who may be searching. What do you believe about the Bible? What do you personally believe about the Bible? Because it will affect everything else in your life. Let's pray about this. Father, I thank you that you give us promises in Scripture. And the promise you've given us today that all Scripture is breathed out by you. That, Father, you have given this to us. I thank you for that. I thank you, Father, that we can base our lives on the truth of what the Bible teaches. Father, my prayer today as we have this time of response in our worship service that you would confirm to each heart here what they believe about the Bible. And my prayer, Father, is that each one of us in this room would choose to believe that it is your truth, that all of it was given by you, and all of it applies to each one of our lives. Father, I pray that today you confirm that in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.